Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Documentary. This will be a fairly quick episode because we're just going to recap a couple of the film festivals that we've taken part in as of recently. Catherine with Sundance and Mia with True False Film Festival.
Now that Sundance is virtual, I try to watch as much as I can in 2 weeks. So I got a little over inundated with the amount of I only did documentaries too, with the amount of documentaries I watched. But I'd say three of them were probably my favorite, and then one of them was like an incredible standout. So I saw King Cole was probably ranked number three. It's set in the Central Appalachian Mountains, and the director, Elaine McMillan Sheldon, grew up here in this like small coal mining town, and she kind of goes back and sort of explores the community's identity with sort of what their future is going to look like now that coal isn't the industry it used to be, or is not an industry people want. But instead of kind of like focusing on the negatives or like what a lot of people, including myself, have believed about what the coal industry is like, it sort of shows like how beautiful of a place it is. Like the entire community is out in nature. Like it's such a green, beautiful space. They're in the mountains, they're hiking, they're fishing. So I really appreciated this idea of like your job or industry you work in or place you live, that doesn't mean that that's your identity. And I think as more of a liberal person, we sort of stereotype, or I have like people who kind of work in coal, but then you start to see like, this is how people grew up. They were born into this community. They're still kind. They still have such a sense of community. And I think anyone is going to have a really hard time once their way of life is like destroyed. And so it's interesting seeing it from like a woman who grew up there, going back to explore it, but then sort of challenging where she thinks it where it should go, what her identity means. And there's also, so she just does sort of like a poetic voiceover as well. So it's kind of see how she's feeling, but then also lets the imagery show a lot of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really fascinating. I'm curious, do you know if it got bought or anything?
It wasn't, this was the one I was most looking forward to seeing, and it wasn't in the end my favorite. I was expecting a little bit more from it.
I see.
I think it's her first, I don't know if it got bought. Let's see. It was in the
next. Yeah, I'm not seeing any information. I'm not seeing any information about it, but it looks interesting.
It's beautiful. And it kind of.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. It's directed stunning. By Elaine McMillan
Sheldon.
Yeah. Elaine McMillan S. Sheldon. But it looks like a gorgeous film. But yeah, I'm curious. I feel like it's a subject I'm fascinated, especially as a Marxist.
Yeah, it was just also
I'm always curious.
Like, so ironic that like, you know, a lot of people, including myself, who are liberal and very like pro-environment and trying to help climate change, a lot of us live in cities with no green space, never grow outside, or like go explore nature. I know a lot of us do, but others don't. Whereas people living in a coal town, they're always outside. Maybe not everyone, but they're in this, like, West Virginia is beautiful. But just such a green space and like living more by the earth than city people are. So I just love that. I don't think she's making a statement on it, but just sort of kind of questioning and thinking about that. Cause I don't think there is like one right or wrong opinion on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a complicated issue because as somebody who's like, maybe my primary interest in politics is labor, I completely can sympathize with it, but I'm also definitely an environmentalist, and there definitely is no way forward without fixing the environment while also focusing on closing the gap of inequality and like giving people like a place where they can, you know, thrive and earn a living.
Yeah. And this film does include some like strong, like imagery and segments. There's like a funeral, and there's a something you think is going to be a protest, but actually isn't. So it's, yeah, it really kind of questions, yeah, things you've seen. And it's, I like how it is still very like subtle and more of like a poetic film. Sometimes it's hard to like learn and explore these topics when it's too politicized.
Yeah. Speaking of politicized topics, one of the ones I saw at True False that I think also maybe it played at Sundance as well. I don't remember if, no, it did play at Sundance. It's called Bad Press by director Joe Peeler. It deals with like the Muscogee Nation in Oklahoma. They were essentially, were not allowing free press. They were the only, one of the only native tribes that allowed a free and open press. And then during the time, whenever the filmmakers decided to start making this film, they actually passed a law to essentially make the press less free. And this is kind of a film following a lot of the activists who were working on essentially opening the press back up and bringing a free press to, and, you know, getting news to people in the Muscogee Nation. You know, it's really interesting. You know, I didn't know too much about how native tribes like govern, you know, their sovereign areas and stuff like that. And there's a lot of that in there. And then the activists and the journalists in Muscogee Nation are just incredible, fascinating people. And so following along with their story and the work that they're doing to bring news to their tribe was just, it was an incredible film. It was really, it was fun to watch. It's funny because like a lot of the people involved are funny and have like really like loud personalities. Like the main subject in the film, she literally came out for the Q&A after the film with her middle fingers up, like because there was like a scene in the film where she was like flipping off the like tribe leaders or whatever. It's interesting. It's a very punk rock feeling film, but it was also like really beautifully done. Nice cinematography, really well put together, great music. A little more traditional, especially for True False, a little more traditional in its form, but still engaging and an important subject and a really good movie. It's an entertaining film.
That one, it was on my list that I unfortunately didn't get to see. Has it been bought for distribution or is it going to be distributed somewhere?
When they did the Q&A, they were not able to say anything yet.
That's good.
But it sounded like it has been bought. I just don't know by who or what the timeline is.
Or when they'll put it out. Yeah. Sometimes you have to wait. Okay, so second one at Sundance. I'll try to be a little quicker on this one. It's called Against the Tide. It's a film from India about two friends, basically brothers. Hopefully I say this right. Rakesh and Ganesh. And they're both fishermen of Bombay's indigenous Kolai community. But one of them has gone the route of going to school, I believe it's either England or Scotland. And then the other friend has stayed in the village. And it just kind of starts to show how drastically the fishing industry is being changed in India. And so the one who does the more traditional ways, what you would expect, can't catch fish because he's competing with boats from China and this more modern way that just like destroying the environment, destroying the local economy. And so these friends often are kind of like kind of arguing and debating with one another about their choices because one of the friends, he can't make a living. He can't help his family when they're sick. And then the other one, you start to see him, he's almost like too wrapped up in money and sort of living in a big house or in a nice apartment with a nice car. There were moments of this film where I was like, it was a little too like on the nose of like modern is bad and greedy and the old way is how we should be. Because realistically, that's not what the world is, and that doesn't, someone trying to make a living, doesn't make them a bad person, because I could understand how the one friend who goes the more modern way with the bigger boats, he wants to be able to support his family. But the ending is actually quite sad, because you just start to realize with China and other countries coming in that, like with globalization, these communities are losing their way of life. And yeah, our demand for wanting to consume more and not really caring about the environment doesn't just affect the fish in the ocean. It affects communities of people. So, but I don't know. I love water. I think fishing's interesting. That's, and it's just also very beautifully shot. Yeah, I don't know, like with the camera technology, I feel like in the last 5-6 years, documentaries have just gotten visually so much better too. Just another note.
Oh, absolutely. You can make a gorgeous documentary for nothing now, which is like weird that any documentary is like ugly, or any film is really ugly these days, which I just was at a festival. And again, I'm not going to denigrate any films specifically, but I've seen a handful of films that I was like, what are you shooting on? Because even an iPhone would look better than this.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I liked about this last thing is there were no sit-down interviews. So like they would film conversations, they would film their days. And so I liked that. It wasn't like a full like fly on the wall. It seems like some sit-downs were like, okay, you two should sit down and talk maybe. But it just felt very real. And we were just sort of watching their lives unfold.
Beautiful. That sounds really interesting. And also like fishing is really depressing. Like any
just the
film,
technologies they were coming out
the
with.
The trawlers and just how much fish they take out of the ocean and how much bycatch they have and how much they're just destroying the whole world and so quickly is just, yeah. And this just kind of shows the inefficiencies of capitalism, which I think have been more apparent over and over. Because if you have a society that's built on rewarding people for doing bad things and that's the only way they can survive, then of course it's going to be, you know, you can't really fault the people that are trying to survive. You can only fault the system that rewards that over doing something that would be more sustainable, or having a society set up where you don't just like let people fall through the cracks if they're not like participating in destroying the world to make money. Speaking of that, the next one I have is, if you like Frederick Wiseman, I think you would like this film. It's by Claire Simone. I've never seen any of her films, but apparently she is basically like the French version of Frederick Wiseman. And I had no idea. It's the last day at True False. I was going to leave before the film. And then I decided, you know what? I should just stick around and watch some more movies. And I saw, where else am I going to watch a 3-hour documentary besides True False Film Festival? And I went into the theater that I knew had couches, and I was like, I'm going to do it. So last year I saw a 4-hour documentary called Mr. Landsburgis at my last day at True False. This year I saw Our Body by Claire Simone. It's a 3-hour documentary about a Parisian public hospital. And this is kind of the written synopsis. I didn't write this. This is from Letterboxd. So it's Claire Simone questions what it means to live in women's bodies, filming their diversity, singularity, and their beauty in all stages throughout life. And really, it's a sprawling documentary about this public hospital, and specifically like with a gynecologist, on women who are trying to get pregnant, women that are having babies, women that are going through breast cancer, people who are dealing with, you know, women who are going through transitions, trans women, and just a lot. It's a sprawling documentary and it's very verite. But during the filming, Claire Simone, you know, starts going through some health issues, and then her story starts getting incorporated, which is something Wiseman wouldn't do. So it almost has this like very like poetic, this poetic element to it that is not really in those films, but it's living with that like sprawling kind of making a movie about like a public infrastructure and getting the interior lives of a place with all of the people who benefit from it or need it.
Similar, same question. Is that one available to watch anywhere yet?
I think this one, it's available in France. I'm pretty sure it's already out in France. I don't know where to see it in the United States. Yet.
I've got a good VPN now, so maybe I'll try to find
it. So it's called Our Body or Notre Corpse, or however you say it with a French accent. I'm bad at it, even though my last name is French. But that's the other one I'll suggest. And then I'll just like list off a handful of other ones too, because those were probably two of my favorite ones that I saw. The other one I really liked is called Time Bomb Y2K. I mean, it literally takes something that I lived through, that I was of an age where I remember it, but puts it in an interesting context. It's a all archival documentary about the years leading up to Y2K and the Y2K scare and like things that were going on around it. And that just showed a lot of context that I just really didn't know about at the time. I mostly got like the scared people in Texas buying land, buying a ton of water and getting ready for the end of the world side of things. My family was a little more chill. We were kind of like, okay, things might happen. I don't really know what's going to happen, but we're just going to hang out and have a regular New Year's. Whereas people around us were like freaking out. And then a couple other ones I liked were Natalia, The Taste of Mango, Dog Watch, Guayupoy, and then Red Herring, which Red Herring was kind of a first person account of somebody who is going to die of a brain tumor soon. And they made a film about him going through the brain tumor, trying to get it removed and coming back. And he is a filmmaker and he's been making the process, but he knows he's going to die soon. There's no ending where, there's going to be a cure coming up for him anytime soon. But he was at the festival. He seemed in good spirits. The whole film is kind of coming to terms with the fact that he knows he's going to die within the next couple of years. Jeez. It was a hard film to watch. It was a funny film and it was really beautifully done.
Yeah, that sounds really good, but a heavier film. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely got teary-eyed during
that. Okay, this will be my last one, which was my favorite from Sundance this year. And probably one of my favorite documentaries I've seen since Fire of Love. It's called Smoke Sauna Sisterhood. And it's directed by Anna Hintz, and it takes place in southern Estonia. I think it's like a national heritage site as well. And so like a group of women gather in this sauna to just sort of, I think, process life, speak about it, and find like a really safe space of like community. And cinematography and sound is incredible. Like, it really captures this like lush green forested area it is, and it focuses a lot on like the sounds of the water dripping like from the sauna and when they put like the water on the coal. So it creates sort of like almost like a background soundtrack, but just of all natural sounds. And the film is, I'd say like 90% of it just in the sauna of these women having these like incredible conversations that I think a lot of them wouldn't have had a place to speak about or to just like process. And it's interesting, they start with a lot of stuff about, you know, from conversations about birth, and then as like a woman, like when you start menstruating, and how, at least in Estonia, that's called an illness. And so how all these women from such a young age are thought to feel like they're wrong, they're not good people, like there's something wrong with them. And it's interesting seeing them in this like small area in the dark, like naked with other women, that they can kind of start to release these things. And then they start to have conversations about what it's like being married and how you're not really allowed to get divorced, even if you're in an abusive relationship. And then there's like some conversations about like sexual trauma and assault, and then death, but it's done in like a very like slow, poetic way. And I think it took the filmmakers like 8 years from like start to finish, but then they filmed for a couple years and they would just go in the sauna for like 6 hours and just film these women. And you could see a lot of them didn't show their faces, like, but it wasn't like a blurred out face. They would just focus on parts of the body, which made it like very intimate and non-sexualized. And people would like slowly open up, and it'd be interesting. Like one woman would start to tell a part of the story, and you would either see other women like laughing or crying or just like subtle movements to be like, oh, I know, I've experienced that. It's great to hear this and like not be judged. And like, in a way, like people go to saunas to be cleansed and just to like, yeah, see that. And I don't think a lot of women have the space for that. But it was just really beautiful to see, and just such like honest, vulnerable conversations. And but also it was really interesting to like hear that this has been going on for years, and like this isn't a new thing. Like this has always been a place for women to gather and be safe and work through these things, because there really isn't anywhere else they can. So yeah, I just found a lot of the conversations very relatable. But I would be curious, like, if like a guy watched this, what they would think of it, like if what they would take away. Not trying to make it like a gender thing, but just, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm like, I was just thinking about how I was like, oh man, all these women should watch Our
Body. Yeah, I know, exactly.
You know, because it was like such a great tie-in. And also my last one, I think this was my second favorite film I saw, True False. My first would be Our Body, because I discovered Claire Simone and I had never seen any of her films, and I'm really excited to see more, because I feel like she takes what Frederick Wiseman does and adds a little poetry to it and a little bit more personality, but also still makes these like sweeping films about places, which I'm really interested in. But my second favorite film I saw at the festival is called Ramona, and I think it ties in really beautifully with this, because the film is essentially, they had this script, they were going to make a short film, and during the research for the short film, the actor, she was going to play like, I think the film takes place in, oh my god, where does this film take place? Paraguay, I think. So I think this film takes place in Paraguay. Don't quote me on that. I'll fix it if that's not true in post. But essentially, they are making a film about this like young woman who gets pregnant. She's a teenager. And so the actor, when they're starting to cast the role, they're like interviewing all these like girls who have gone through this like exact experience. A lot of them are in their late teens, early 20s. They have multiple babies, and then they ended up not really doing the short film and using all of these interviews and actually like doing an exploration on like who has the right to tell this story, you know. And it kind of dives into all these like different things, and then they start incorporating all the different women they interview into the script that they had, and make this like sprawling mix of like documentary and narrative, but in a really beautiful way, in a way that doesn't feel forced. I really loved this film. It really is about like who has the right to tell somebody's story, and but there's no easy answers. That's the interesting thing about the film, because it doesn't give you answers. It's just an exploration. So it goes from what was going to be a short film to being a feature length, like really interesting documentary that blends kind of narrative and documentary together in a way that's like really beautiful and really focused on women's stories again.
I like what you said about like not being forced. Yeah. I think that's what makes a lot of really good documentaries, and like why I like especially loved the sauna film, because yeah, there's moments where no one speaks. It's just people sitting in darkness and like, you know, the sounds of the water, or just like this, just the steam filling the camera lens.
I want to see that. What was that song called?
Sisterhood? I mean, the cinematography is unreal. I was actually surprised when I watched the Q&A after. I was wondering, like, how did they film it? And I know Europeans are a lot better with nudity than a lot of Americans are, but it was actually a guy who was the cinematographer. I think it just showed, like, what a comfortable space that they made, that I think it's also just very... just respectful that these women also let people into this space, and to, like, to tell those stories. But it just, it's stunning. And it's someone, like, I love nature and water, and it's just, it really captures sort of the beauty and the peacefulness of that.
I really want to see that. That sounds right up my alley. I just followed the filmmaker on Instagram, so.
And it's not, it's weird, it's not negative, like, as much as these are some of, like, the hardest sort of stories, not sort of, but, like, experiences a person can go through, it didn't feel like a victim or really, really sad film. It was just more of, like, wow, these people have the space to kind of release these things.
That's how Ramona was. I was like, all these women are going through these, like, horror, like, these experiences sound horrible, and, like, they're young people who got pregnant, who are dealing with guys who have no respect for women, who oftentimes maybe put them, I mean, some of these girls have gone through being raped and stuff like that, and the film treats them, though, with such respect, and they have such, like, a power behind them, and give, and there's a beauty to that. And I think Ramona does that as well. I do want to go back. The last thing I'll say before we end this episode is that when we were talking about distribution, Time Bomb Y2K, I do know, got bought by HBO.
Okay, so that'll come
out. Let me see. And it's actually really good. It's like a fully archival documentary, and it's funny because it feels like, you know, it's recognizable. But then you're also like, man, I forgot that TV looked so bad back then because everything looks so good now. But it actually, like, makes the film work and feel like kind of romantic because it's all archival footage from, like, the late 90s. Oh, so, yeah, it's fully archival. There's no narration, and they tell the whole story with no narration through archival footage. And it's, like, a very compelling, beautifully put together story. And it will be coming to HBO.
Yesterday. So Smoke Sauna Sisterhood was sold to 20 territories.
Nice.
Greenwich Entertainment in the US.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know them.
And Sherry Media Group in Canada. That's it. But I highly recommend it. Also, if you love nature, kind of does the healing power of nature and community, which... I think is a real thing.
I'm excited to see that film. It sounds amazing. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of A Documentary Podcast. Go to adocumentarypodcast.com for more info. Tell us what you want us to watch.
Yeah. Thanks for listening with us, or joining us again.
Yeah. We missed you guys. Yeah. Hopefully you're still there. Hello. Are you still there?